Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tes, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah. So the Mishnah reviews now one of the dinim that we saw before, but the only reason that we start with the introduction is to get to the problem of what happens if you shave your hair. So remember that we had spoken about three things that are affected by the Naziris. One is, of course, consumption, and that's what we've been spending the past dapim on. And the second one was the Isser of cutting your hair, and the third one was Tuma. Now, these three things have very different implications in the event that the Nazir went ahead and did them. We know that, of course, Tuma, under certain circumstances, will cancel the entire Naziris, and you'll have to start the whole thing over again. We know that if we had the Mishnah before, if the person was drinking wine the whole time, that midiraisa, this would not have any impact on his Naziris at all, except that the Chachamim gave him a knas that if he hadn't paid attention to find out whether the Naziris was binding, so then we're not going to help him out unless he keeps the number of days that he had been mezalzel in his Naziris, or going to Rabbi Yossi, 1 month, but Shloshim Yom. But we know that halacha. But what is the din in terms of giluach? We haven't established that. So the nazir that ends up losing his hair through giluach, whether he does it himself necessarily in terms of being over, or whether it's done to him, what's the status of a nazir without hair? So stam nazir is a Shloshim Yom, and that means that we understand that Shloshim Yom is related to the Rosh Nizro. We find the same halacha, of course, by the din of the Kuhuna. And that is that the Kohen cannot let his hair grow past the Shloshim Yom, which was related to earlier to the din of the Naziris. So this is an introduction to the next cases. Suppose the Nazir himself actually cut his hair, or for that matter, he had a bunch of anti-Semites grab this guy, cut off his payas, you know, and do the whole jazz, so that now he's without hair. How does that affect him? Well, it's soter up to Shloshim Yom, or it may mean soter Shloshim Yom. This big machlok, as we've shown him, how to understand what this means. The way that the Rosh and most of the Rishonim understand it is that the Nazir requires a growth of Shloshim Yom in order to be Migaleach his Sar, which is what he does in order to conclude his Naziris. He does the Giluach as part of bringing his Karbonis. But if he doesn't have the hair, he doesn't have the Rosh Nizro, then he cannot do his Akravas Karbonis. So therefore, says the Rosh, in the event that he's going to have a full head of hair at the time of his Giluach, let's say he made his Naziris for 100 days, and this Giluach by these anti-Semites takes place on the 40th day. Well, by the time the end of the Naziris comes around on the 100th day, he's going to have a full head of hair again, and therefore it will not affect him in any way. That's the way that the Rosh and many of the Rishonim learn. The Rambam learns that Sotzer Shloshim Yom means that you cannot be moneg your continued Naziris until you get your hair back, which is a completely different issue. So according to him, it means you're always going to lose 30 days of Naziris. You'll lose it, of course, not because you lost the past. You'll lose it because you lost the future. So that if you were in the middle of your Naziris, you lost the hair through a giluach, then you're going to not be able to continue the count of your Naziris until you get back your 30-day growth of hair. So this is the Rambam's unique approach to the sugya here, and it's definitely a rather strange approach, because we know that you certainly don't need a full head of hair to count Naziris. You could start without hair. And in fact, if a Nazir becomes tamei, then he cuts his hair first and restarts his Naziris without any hair. And yet, when there's a giluach in the middle of his Naziris, which was the normal Naziris, even though, let's imagine a case where he had started his Naziris without any hair, He had a big haircut the day before his Naziris. He starts his Naziris, and he has a week's worth of hair, and now somebody does this Giluach, or he does the Giluach. According to the Rambam, he can't restart his Naziris until he gets 30 days of hair. Well, why is that? He started his Naziris in the first place without any hair. So you can see that the Shita of the Rambam requires some definite birur as to the consistency with the dinim of Naziris Tuma and so on and so forth. So let's keep our minds open to these problems. But the approach of the Rosh would be the simple approach to the sugya. The point of needing hair is in order to do giluach. The point of needing hair is not in order to count your Naziris. So as you can see, this is a very, very different approach. So in that case, he would be soter shloshim yom. So again, according to Rosh, those words mean he would be soter up to 30 days, depending on how many days are left to his Naziris. If anyway he's got 30 days left, so then he doesn't lose anything, because by the time he gets to his korban, the hair is regrown. Okay. The Rambam's approach is he's always going to lose 30 days because he cannot continue his Naziris until he counts the 30 days for his regrowing his hair. Nazir shegilach ben bezog ben betar. Now, it doesn't matter when we're talking about over here that he shaved. That doesn't matter whether he shaved by using a razor, he shaved by using a scissors. Now, we'll see that it would have to be a very close-cutting scissors. Oh, for that matter, Shasif Seif, he may even have picked out his hairs by hand, and even a little bit, even one single hair, koshu, the din is that he would be chayev malchus. This has nothing to do with the stira, but since lo yigalechu, he's not allowed to cut his hair, even a single hair would be enough to be chayev the malchus, and not necessarily enough to make any difference to his naziris, to the count. So now the question is like this. We assume that this halacha has something to do with whether the hair that was cut off was the hair that had been grown in terms of Naziris, or was hair that had not been grown during the Naziris. And therefore, it's important for us to establish how does hair grow. Moshe Andel, Moshe Reuven, Moshe, thank you. So it's important for us to establish where does hair grow from? Does it grow from the bottom, or does it grow from the top? Because that way we're going to be able to determine the difference between the hair that was cut off, whether it's the hair from the beginning of the Naziris or the end of the Naziris. We'll see that this was a rather naive assumption, but let's follow along the Gemara meanwhile. One of the great Zen questions, does hair grow from the bottom, or does hair grow from the tips? Who cares? Well, we care, because what if a Nazir was attacked by these anti-Semitic listim and they shave his hair? But suppose they leave enough hair at the bottom that you've got hair long enough to bend the top of the hair to the root of the hair. So they cut his hair short, but they left enough. We're going to see that that is a 7-day growth, which is considered to be a growth of hair. So if they lived, they left that. So then, Iyamit Milatachat Rabbi, if you're going to tell me that the hair is continuously growing from the bottom, so then we got a problem, because that means that the hair that they cut off, so if they, I'm sorry, what did I say? Oh, I meant that it's growing from the top. No, sorry. If it's growing from the bottom, sorry, I jumped ahead. So then that means that the hair that was there at the beginning of the Nazirut has been cut off. And we're assuming that that's the problem. So then that means they took away the Rosh Nizro, they took away the hair that he had said, this is the hair that I'm going to make holy and leave it. But he didn't leave it because it was cut off. So then if that's the case, we would have to treat it as removal, even though he left something on the bottom. And he, Amit Mila El Rabbi, but if it grows from the tip, so then, Amai Da Agdish, Okaim, there's still hair left that was there at the beginning of his saying, behold, this hair is the hair of a holy Nazir. Okay, so we're assuming that that's a very important issue. So we would need to determine that question of where hair grows from before we would be able to establish what the halacha would be if they left enough of a hair growth at the bottom of 7 days. Now, it turns out, again, as I said, that this is a naive assumption and that it's all because of the holiness of his hair that was there at the beginning. And that really isn't the issue. The issue turns out to be the question of what is considered to be the removal of the hair for the giluach. And it doesn't really matter whether it's holy hair or holy natural hair. So let's take a look first at seeing whether we can establish where hair will grow from. Now, as every unfortunate parent knows, there's an easy way to tell where hair grow from. And that's when you get a note back with your kid that your kid has lice. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? And where do you find those lice? Well, if they're live lice, so then, tashma meha invachaya, take a look, from a living nit. Now, of course, that's the egg of the lice, right? So now, koyim be'ikva debinta. So now that's always going to stay at the closest point to the scalp. But if the hair was growing from the bottom, why wouldn't we find living nits getting further and further away from the scalp? Aha! It must be that hair grows from the tips, right? Because Isak Milatachas Rabbi, if the hair is growing from the bottom, then that nit should be at the top after a while, right? So it should be Bereshit Abinta Boilameka. No, says the Gemara. We're talking about a live nit. So then that could be part of the way it works, you know. It just keeps moving. I mean, it has to survive by sucking the blood, and it can only do that when it's near the scalp. So therefore, it is equipped with mechanisms to get down there and to always be near the scalp. Okay, well, what about a dead nit? So Tashma Inva Meta actually does end up at the top. Aha! Now, that seems to prove that, of course, it must be growing from the bottom. Because Isak Adaitach Mila El Rabbi, and if it's actually growing from the tip, so then that dead nit should be staying at the bottom. How come it's going to the top? Must be that it's being pulled up by the growth of the hair. No, maybe that's actually the opposite phenomena. That since it's no longer alive, it really can't hold on very well, and it just gets shaken off. Ultimately, the person lies down, and the gravity pulls it towards the top of the hair, and maybe that doesn't prove anything. So mishum delet bechela, that obviously doesn't have any energy if it's dead, so because of that, shiruga shiriga v'ozio, it keeps sliding down towards the end of the hair as the hair grows out and ends up at the tip. Now, wait a minute. Did you guys ever look at any of these black wrappers? Okay, now they've got their hair all like braided up, right? It's got to be braided up all the way to the scalp. And look what happens to them. After a week, they got to rebraid because all the hair at the bottom at the scalp is all loose and it starts looking terrible. So obviously, black wrappers prove that hair grows from the bottom. So therefore, tashma bi blurit the kushim. After all of that work, which you spent so much money in getting that hair, I mean, my God, and it takes hours and hours, and then after a week of growth at the bottom, it's all wrecked. Yeah, I mean,
upgrading black wrappers?
The answer is the Gemara doesn't prove anything. Even black wrappers sometimes sleep, don't they? So either the kamta, he mishkeva, so because of that, it's because it is so tightly pulled up against the scalp as part of the whole deal. So then because of that, when you lie on it, you loosen it. But maybe it's not because it's growing. come on. What about when you use that red paint to mark your sheep, you know, for miser or for branding? Now, what happens over there? The wool that grows out on the bottom is loose. And the hair that had been marked with the red paint remains all stuck together at the tip. Derufei amra milatachat. So it's obviously growing out from the bottom. And, I mean, certainly you're not going to make a difference between mammals, different kind of mammals, that human hair grows from a tip and sheep hair grows from another. That's crazy. So, of course, it must be that human hair also grows from the bottom. Not to mention the fact, now listen, we don't want to expose anything that only her hairdresser knows for sure, right? So we're going to be very careful. And we don't want to have pictures of women in any kind of Jewish publication, and then Art Scroll would have had to put in a picture of a woman's hair. So in order to avoid that, what we want to talk about is these old guys that try to look young. And they dye their hair black, and they're always exposed. Because right at the bottom, you can just make out that white hair coming out again, right? So you see that these old guys, katsave sabia diknahon, then when these old guys go ahead and they dye their beards, the bottom of the hairs are always the first place that expose the white. Okay, so they have to send in entirely new pictures to the Shidduchim sites and so on every week. So therefore, we now know that hair grows from the bottom. Gavi is not going to help me today, I see. Akiva has left me behind. I'm in big trouble. Yeah, but you don't have any boost.
When you end up left, you don't need no boost.
Okay. So we see from here that in the end, Milatachat Rabbi. Ask the Gemara, but wait. Then we've got a problem with our sugya. Velahada Tanya. Nazir shil gilchuhu listim vishyirobo kedelachu froshole ikaro. We made these two sugyas interdependent. And yet it says in the Brisa that if a nazir had been shaved, but there was enough hair left at the bottom that was sufficient to be able to bend the tip of the hair down to the root. So then he doesn't lose anything of his nazirus. I thought you said that if we can show that the hair is growing from the bottom, then it would mean that all that holy hair was removed, and that he should be required to lose the days of his nazir, so should be seiser. And yet it says over here, eno seiser. So Isaac adaitach milatachat Ravi, if you really have proven that the original hair has been removed, like you're claiming, so why doesn't he lose the hair and have to wait till it grows? Well, says Gemara, maybe that case it's talking about, where gilchuhu achar malot. So after he had already finished the entire period, then it doesn't matter whether his head was shaved, at least not according to Rabbi Eliezer, because mani Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar kol achar malot, if his hair was totally shaved after the malot, then all you need is 7 days in order to be able to have some hair at the end. But it doesn't mean that you any longer will have to make up an entire head of hair of 30 days. So that's because it happens to be during the malot. But if enochinami, if it was before malot yemei nizro, so then since the hair grows from the bottom, we would have to say that he lost his holy hair. My time at the Rabbi Eliezer. Well, he says, yolef tiglachat taharami tiglachat tuma. Let's imagine the case. If a person has to shave his hair as part of the dinim of what he does when he became tameh during his naziras, so just like the din of the tiglachat tuma requires 7 days, because you need the 7 days after the time that he became tameh in order to become tahor. So if that's the case, af tiglachat tahara shiva. So you see from there that we have a minimum of 7 days, and it's the same idea that whatever it is that took place, whether it's tuma or whether it was the taking off of the hair, the Torah delays the nazir's ability to restart by 7 days. So in the case that he was a nazir tamei, it says beferish, 7 days. This is what we pointed out before, and when we were discussing the Rambam, that lechor, if the Torah allows you to restart in 7 days, so then where would you get the idea that you would lose 30 days in the middle of the Naziris, the way that the Rambam understands it? Now, the relationship of this idea to the shiur that we gave before of shiur book, enough hair to take the top of there, the rosho, adikaro, what does that have to do with it? Everything. Because it turns out that the Chachomim gave the shiur, kimluhu l'rabbonan, the Chachomim were aware of the fact that a seven-day growth is exactly what you need to get enough hair that it would be atya mazya kedelachuf rosh alikaro. 7 days worth of hair growth, and that's the mocker of it, would then give you sufficient hair for the shiur. And that shiur is kedei lachuf rosh alikaro, which becomes the definition of the concept of giluach overall. That if you have that amount of hair, so then the nozer wasn't considered to be megulach at all. Now let's take...
quick question. I mean, I know I think pretty much for a fact from my kids that have different hair genetics, that some hair grows very fast and some hair grows much slower. So how is there a shiur?
Kol shiurei chachamim kache. That's what Gemara says often. Okay, so once we're kovea a certain norm, that would be maybe most people or so on. But that norm is then applied, and we don't take a look at the specifics, like in all shiurim, right? There's very rarely that a shiur is defined on a personal level. So, I mean, on Yom Kippur, let's say, we have a shiur that's defined on a personal level, but that's because the issue over there is feeling a sense of satisfaction. You can't make that into a shiur. Either you are or you aren't. I mean, you're not going to give Og Melech HaBashan the same level of what's considered to be satisfaction as you would, you know, somebody who's very small. That's the way the Gemara puts it. So that's why when we talk about, you know, eating on Yom Kippur for someone who's ill, he has to first establish what his personal shiur would be, and then that would be the shiurim that he makes sure he doesn't take within the allotted time. It's not a standard. But otherwise, when we're not dealing with something that is personal, so then when the Torah says Giluach, this is what Giluach is defined as. Fine. So the next piece of the Mishnah said that it doesn't matter what you use to do the Giluach with. So whether he was Megaleh B'Ta'ar, or whether he was Megaleh B'Zug, or Shesiv Sev Koshuhu, it really is going to be exactly the same. So now the question is, where exactly do we know this from? And we know that the Lashon in the Torah speaks about a razor, right? It says, Ko yamei neder nizro ta'ar lo yavor arosho. So it speaks about a razor specifically. Ad melot hayamim asher yazir la'ashem. Now, albeit it's true that the end of the pasuk definitely gives us a mitzvah saseh, because it says, Kadosh yeh gadel peras arosho. There it's not talking about how you grow the hair. It's just the mitzvah to grow the hair. But the question is the din of growing the hair also a gilui about the lav? Because it occurs together. Tar lo yavor al rosho. And then it also says gadel peras al rosho. Now, gadel peras al rosho means that you can't be using a scissors, because then you're not being gadel pera. But of course, it's only a mitzvah saseh. It doesn't say don't use a scissor. So the question is whether the end of the pasuk that adds, so to speak, don't use a scissor in terms of a mitzvah saseh, whether that also has implications for the broader question of whether, and therefore that would be included in the same isser of lo yavor al rosho, that lo yavor al rosho is marba, anything that would be taking off the hair of your head. Well, this we'll see is actually a machlokas, and therefore it's not so pashut what the Mishnah says, that you would definitely be over on a lav utilizing some scissors that will cut the hair up close enough not to be rosho le'ikaro. And what it says over there in the Brisa is like this. It says in the Pasuk, ta'ar lo yavar al rosho, ein li ela ta'ar. So I would think that maybe that actually is only an isser of ta'ar. I mean, that's not such a crazy thing. We're used to that kind of thing in terms of the Isurim of shaving, right? So we know you can't shave with a razor, but you can shave with a scissor, or with the equivalent of a scissor, which is one of these shaving devices, either electric or hand, but cuts by not cutting against the skin, the way that the tar does. So there's nothing unusual about that. So the Torah said, Tarlo Yavar al Rosho. So I would say, okay, so a Nazir is limited on the hair of his head the way that other men are limited on the hair on their chin. Okay, so that would be what it would mean. But what if the Nazir would actually use the scissors? And he went ahead and it was talash or mirate or sifseif. Now, it's not clear what these things are, exactly the difference. I mean, talash obviously means to pluck out the hair, as we would say. So, okay, to use a tweezer, right? Sifseif, according to some, means that he just pulled off a piece of hair, but he didn't uproot it from the root, perhaps, right? The Rush learned sifseif is just the same word as shifshaif, which means that he was rubbing his hair, and that way he also pulled out hair by rubbing it. And he used such a rough rub that he actually detached hair. But in any event, we understand the intent. So if he plucked out a hair, or he was mirate the hair, which usually means that he took it off by using some type of chemical or a depilatory. So in all of those cases, how do we know that he would be over on anything, since the Torah only mentions tar? That we know from the end of the pasuk, Talmud Lomar, Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Pera Sa'arosho. So obviously, it is usur even to use anything, because he's not going to be Megadel. Now, it's true that that's only an aseh, but since it occurs over here in the same pasuk that is expanding on the din of Tar Lo Yavar Al Rosho, so we understand that it's also an expansion of the iser in any way that would prevent the hair of his head from growing out. So says Rabbi Yoshia, and that because of that, it's true what our Mishnah says, that you would be Chai of Malkus, and according to this, Lechora, what we're saying is that we've got also an iser. Is he saying that it's an iser aseh, or are we saying that it's an iser of a lotas ephremalkus? Well, the pashtus is the kadosh yagad el pera. The way that we started is that we're talking about only a mitzvah aseh. But let's take a look at Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan says, ta'ar ein li ela ta'ar. Mire tolav shivsev koshuhu would actually be potter. What do you mean be potter, says the Gemara? But it says, kadosh yiyeh. How can you say that he would be potter and gadel sarosho and so on? Are you ignoring that? I mean, that's the whole end of the pasuk. So why would he be potter? Which is what seems to be saying, that he wouldn't be over on anything. Well, the Memra in Rabbi Yonah, what he was saying in these words, Rabbi Yonah, is Lememra de im gilach le betar koim ale ba'asei ubelotase. What he is saying is that if you did it the way that it's usher to do as a lav, then you're also usher with this asei. Okay, so far we don't see that anybody says that there's mamish a lav, even on a non-razor, correct? But it turns out that there's another brisa that says it differently. Tanya Yidach. Tar, ein li ela tar. How do we know that Talash mirate sifseif kol shehu, that he would actually be over Tamid Lomar, lo yavor al rosho? So that means that we're using the end of the pasuk to be marba anything. So miachar shesofenu l'rabot kol davar, if you're telling me that the end of the pasuk is being marba even using a shaver, so then why did it say a razor? Ta'ar lo yavar al rosho, you didn't have to say that at all. That is there for a completely different reason. The Torah never told you how it is that the tiglachat of the Nazir is supposed to be done, right? I mean, I don't know. It says he should be gilach saro. What does that mean? Does it mean that he can use a shaver to cut his hair? Or must he cut off his hair of his head? Must he cut it off with a razor? I don't know until I get to this pasuk, and now I suddenly discover. And that's why it says it here. It doesn't say it because it's limiting the iser to the tiglachat with a tar. It's because it wants to be merames to you the chiev at the end of the naziris, Therefore, Leficha lo labadu netiklachat achrona shiyeh betar. We have no basis for the halacha that we know, which is that you do need to use a razor. But it doesn't say that anywhere. Oh, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, I mean, we know it from a mitzorah. When we talk about the halacha of a mitzorah who also needs to be megaleach sa'aro, over there we know, we're going to see how we know Gemara is going to talk about it, and over there it's only from with a ta'ar. So you'll say, okay, so we find the Torah has a din of tiglachas by a mitzorah, and the Torah has a din of tiglachas by a nazir, ma matzino b'mitzorah, that it's only done with a razor. So too, by a nazir, it's only done with a razor. Perfectly reasonable. No, it's not, says the Gemara. It's not reasonable at all. Because ein danin kal mechamur lachmir alav, how can you learn something which is more kal than the mitzorah? And particularly when it comes to shaving, for heaven's sakes. If we're talking about cutting the hair of your head versus shaving off all of your body hair, obviously, it makes a big difference whether you're using a razor or whether you're using a scissor. You're not going to go into the hospital for an operation and have the nurse shave body hair with a scissor. It's not going to do any good. And therefore, it's clear by a mitzorah that you're using a razor. How does that tell me that a dover kal, which is to have a haircut with the nazir, means that necessarily you have to have a razor cut? Who says? So I can't learn it from there. Therefore, you know where I know it from? I know it from here. The Torah says, Tar lo yavor al roshah. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, so only a tar. No, no, no. It's actually kadosh yeh gadel pera. He can't take anything at all on his hair. So why'd you say tar? Because during the naziris, you cannot use the tar, but after the naziris, you must use the tar. That's the whole point. So that's the reason that it even mentions the tar. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, You don't even have to say that you need the word ta'ar to tell me this din. Because even if ta'ar meant what the Tanakhama had said, and that it's actually usur specifically with ta'ar, whatever it is, the other shitas, whatever reason you would have to use ta'ar, if you heard hear a hold of Rabbi Yoshi or Rabbi Yonatan, it wouldn't make any difference. Because it does say, Ta'ar lo yavor al rosho ad milot. What do you have to throw in the words ad milot? I mean, we're talking about the shear of them, obviously. What do you mean? There's some special day, the 16th day at noon. You're allowed to. I don't need a pussy. Ko yamei nizro. That's all. So if you're telling me ad milot, doesn't that say to you, of course, until that very special moment when there's dafka has to be a tar al rosho. And that's the point. But that doesn't matter how you learn the word tar. That would come no matter which approach we would have to the tar. But what do you mean? What then would be the point of saying tar? V'aktiv, tar lo yavor al rosho. And then the lo yavor, according to the Tanakhama, meant anything at all. Lo yavor al rosho. Anything at all cannot be over al rosho. And you're saying that could be the meaning. But then why did you mention tar? If it's not to tell me specifically this din about at the end that we do need the tar, you're saying it isn't necessary to say it. Of course it is. If lo yavar al rosho means anything, then the word ad malot would mean anything. Could be used at the end. How can you say it doesn't matter? Of course it matters. What is he trying to say? No, Rebbe was talking about, it's, of course, the idea is that meanwhile, it certainly is mechayev him, specifically in terms of the tar. In other words, I agree that certainly you could learn lo yavar al rosho means anything. Why does it say tar? Because tar itself could be coming to tell me that you're over a special iser if you use a tar. But I would still learn from ad malot that it would be specific with the tar. It's just the combination of the two. Tells me two different halachas. One is that if you, as a nazir, cut your hair with a razor, you're going to be chayav of two separate isurin. Lo yavor al rosho, meaning anything, and the specific issue of the tar. Secondly, Admalot teaches you that that pre-mentioned tzar is something that needs to be used for the tiglachas of the nazir at the end. Okay, so this is a completely different halacha than according to Rebbe. So we've got a very broad kind of differences in shitas. Either you're only going to be over on an asay, or you're going to be over with using something else, or you're not, it's going to actually be an iser lav if you would use anything, not only a tar, or it would be two iseri lav with two separate malchus if the nozer uses a tar for anything but his tiglachas at the end. So it comes out that the Torah is actually telling me, according to Rebbe, three separate issues in this pasuk. One is the specific need for the tar at the malos. One is the issur of using anything al rosho, lo yavar al rosho, anything at all. And one is to tell me that the razor is unique in that its specific need to be used at the malos means that if you actually use the razor, that then you would be chayav. But, I mean, again, the question is, I mean, what would be considered an act of doing the haircut? Is that, I understand that the isser of doing the haircut is one hair, we said. But what would be the din of the tiglachas that would actually be seiser, the naziris, if the person left enough hair to cut? Would that be also, Sosur is a Nazir, suppose he only cut off a small part of his hair. Does that mean that, well, I couldn't do the tiglachas on that part, so I have to let the whole thing regrow? Suppose he only cut hair from the point at which there was still enough hair left beneath it, lochuf rosho le'ikaro. So what does the din of the stira, so to speak, and remember, we use the stira in three different ways. Let's just make that clear. We use the stira, the Parshat Lashon of stira means vahayamim harishonim yiplu. That's the halacha of Tuma and only of Tuma. And that would mean that we look behind us to everything that was done and it's wiped out, canceled. We use stira in a more borrowed sense by saying, the way the Rambam understands it, that you're being soter a future of 30 days. We use satira, and you can't be Mona, you're Naziris. And that would account for the word satira, because you really have lost those days. But we also use satira in a totally borrowed sense, in which we say that since you're going to have to wait around to have enough hair to be able to cut, that namely, that it needs to be k'day lokuf rosho le'ikro, so there's times when we talk about 7 days of satira, even though it isn't really satira in the classic sense, because we're not trying to be meina the naziris. So the very fact that we have the idea of using the word stira fits the Rambam much better. There is, in fact, the concept of stira of shloishim yom. Masha'in kein, according to the Rush, you weren't really soiser. You're waiting 30 days for doing a haircut. That's all. So it's a continuation of the need for a haircut, but it in no way affects the minion of your naziris. All right? Now, this would mean that we have to take a look at the halacha l'meshe misinai that we do have. Omer of Chista. As far as the halacha is concerned, to get malchus, lilkot, one hair is enough to get malchus, as we said. But what about to prevent you from being able to complete your giluach? Well, if you're missing two hairs, la'akev, so then you need to have those two hairs if you didn't do your complete tiglachat. Let's say you left one hair on the head. Would that be a kosher tiglachat? Yes. But suppose you left two hairs on your head. It would not be a kosher tiglachat. Now, all of this is halacha l'beis b'sinai. It's not that we have a sfora for it. It's that this is what we were mekabel. As far as the din of stira, listor, eno soter ela berov rosho. So let's say all of the cases that we said that you have to wait until the end that the hair regrows. So suppose these anti-Semites only manage to get 45% of the Nazir's head? Does he need to wait the 30 days to regrow in order to do the Tiglachas? No. Because the Halakha L'Meshem Sinai teaches us that it's only if there's a rov. And furthermore, all of the shiurim are only talking about utilizing a tar. So that if this was done with a tar, then these dinim apply. What? I thought we just said, what are you talking about? What do you mean bitar? Bitar in the midi achrin alo? We just had beferish in the Mishnah. That's not how we paskin. We said beferish minayin l'rabot et kol ha-ma'avirim. We ended up paskening like the shita that learns that it says in the pasuk lo ya'avor, to tell me kol ha-ma'avirim. So I don't understand what you're saying. Can't mean that. Ela ema ke'ein tar. It was not referring to in this list of halachas that Rav Chista was giving over. He's not bringing a new issue. He started to tell me there are three dinim of what is considered to be the shear legabe hair. One is the shear of the hair for cutting it. One is the shear of the hair that's ma'akev the giluach. And one is the shear of the hair that demands stira. However we understand the nature of stira between the Rosh and the Rambam, right? For him to suddenly throw in a completely new topic. Ubetar. What? Ubetar. What does ubetar mean? What ubetar means that if you left over one hair, what does ubetar mean? If you left over two hairs, if you cut most of it or cut least of it. That one I can say only if you cut most of it with a tar. But why would he suddenly switch to how it was done if we're talking about the number of hairs? That doesn't make any sense at all. Therefore, says the Gemara, of course, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean you had to do it with a razor. It means that what we're talking about when we mean not being Mekayim, it's talking about where it was similar to a tar. In other words, the point of the tar is that it does not leave any growth. Certainly, there's no kidei lochuf rosho leikro if something has been cut with a tar. That's the whole point. So what we're saying, he's not talking about needing to be chayev only through a tar. He's just saying that if you left over at the bottom hair and you didn't use a tar, and let's say you had your shaver set to number four or whatever, so then if that's the case, then l'chera, that would be what it's referring to. It's not actually talking about cutting of any kind. It's talking about cutting all the way down to the skin itself, to the scalp. Now, this is not the way that Tosfos understands it. Tosfos actually asks over here that how can you say that it has to be me'ein ta'ar, where we said before that the shear is, even if it wasn't me'ein ta'ar, but it wasn't enough to be lokuf rosho el ikro. And because of that, some of the Rishonim suggest that what we're referring to over here is enochinami, the din, there's two different dinim, and that's what it was that Rav Chista was actually being merames. He said there's three dinim, but the truth is there's four dinim. What's the four dinim? Ubetar. Namely, that if the most of the hair was cut, but not all of the hair, then it's only if it was literally ubetar. It's a completely different way of reading what it is that Rav Chista was saying. And it makes a heck of a lot of sense. If all of the hair was cut by these anti-Semites, so then, enochinami, this shir is lachuf roshe leikra. But if rove of the hair was cut, but not all of the hair, then the halacha is that it's only considered to be ma'akev in the event that it went all the way down to the scalp and didn't leave any hair at all. But even if it leaves less than kidei rosh alakufa, it's also not going to be enough to be ma'akev him. Fine. So what we're referring to when we said rosh alakuf rosho, I was only talking about where they were shaving the entire head. Okay, Rabbi Isai, that is actually, I mean, since anyway we need to get ahead, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to continue a little bit, since it isn't really time yet. So would that be okay? Okay, so we can start making up. Very good. All right, so sorry, now I lost my place. We got up to Tanya Namihach. So this is a brisa that we're bringing that essentially tells us what Rav Chisda said. What we've understood now, at least according to the Tosfos HaRash, is that there's four different statuses that we have about cutting hair. So what the brisa says is like this: Nazir shetalash or mireit or sifsev kolshehu. So we said that he's chayev malchus, yes, but eino soter ela berov rosho uvitar. He would only actually be soter that he needs to regrow his hair if this took place a rov. Of course, this could be that he did it himself, or it could be other people did it. The case of the least him, it really doesn't matter. And over there, it's only if it was rov. And when we say it was rov, we mean that it was all the way down to the skin, which we said before. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, I remember Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Kishem shistei sa'arot ma'akvot. The same way that if you would have left over two hairs when you were doing the tiglachas, that would not be considered to be a tiglachas at all. So that if that's the case, if you're missing two hairs, you cannot do your tiglachas. Because then it turned out that you were never mekayim the tiglachas on all of the hair that was there. And therefore, kach shtei sa'arot sotrot bo. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakhama says, there's two completely different things. One has to do with your being over, and that would be one hair. One has to, then there's the two separate things that have to do with two hairs. One is this halacha, if you left over two hairs, and they're on his head, so then he didn't do the tiglachas. But if you're missing two hairs because they were cut before the tiglachas time, that doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon says, no, if you're missing two hairs, then that means you can't do the tiglachas, because tiglachas is not mekuyam unless you didn't leave two hairs behind. And in this case, since those two hairs were cut outside of the realm of the tiglachas, you did leave two hairs behind. Therefore, according to him, it would actually be me'akev. Seems more consistent. Okay, I guess a little bit more. Okay, so maybe a little bit more. So we mentioned before the dinim of the tiglachas of a mitzvah. Now, in the Mishnah, in the Gayim, it says there are three cases in the Torah where we find that the Torah demands a tiglachat. One of them is, of course, the nazir. One of them is the mitzvah. And the other one is the din of the Levian, right, in which there's also halacha of vigilcho. So we have, therefore, three cases of a mitzvah to shave: the nazir, the mitzorah, and the levim. Kulam shegilchu shelo betar, o sheshiru shtei sa'arot, lo asu velo klum. However, all three share one thing. They may not share how much of the sa'arot you have to shave, because only the levim and the mitzoroim require removal of all hair. But, and the nazir only requires the removal of the hair of his head. But nonetheless, the din of what the shear is exactly the same. It's not considered to have been a tiglachas if you leave even two hairs. Omar Mar, do I really need to be taught that shlosha begalchim with tiglachas mitzvah? I mean, these are all beferish psukim. If you asked any child in school, if they really learn, and you could ask them what are the cases where the Torah is mitzvah giluach, I mean, they would know. So why does the Mishnah tell us something like that? Isn't that pshita? Mahu detema, says the Gemara, no. Because mahu detema, you can tell me that shloshim megalchim. But when you say that tiglachtan mitzvah, I mean, if I've already reminded you that shloshim megalchim, I mean, obviously you're going to remember that that's why they're megalchim, because the Torah said to be megaleach. Well, if it hadn't said that, then I would have said, it's not that the giluach is the mitzvah. It's the removal of the hair that's the mitzvah. And therefore, ma'adatema mishum avurei saru. That basically what the Torah is saying is, we need to make sure that you remove the hair. But if the hair was removed by using nasha, which is a depilatory. So afil nsach nasha. So basically you ended up removing the hair. So maybe you didn't do the mitzvah, but this is good, no? Kamash randalo, by adding that you need to do the tiglachat is the mitzvah. So then you're telling me that it has to be done in the way that we usually do giluach. Remember that we learned the din of giluach on the face from the fact that giluach means with the normal way. So therefore, when I say over here, b'tiglachat, it needs to mean that it's done with a tar, and it doesn't mean the way we use tar by Rav Chisda, meaning ke'ein tar. No, it means that the act of the tar is necessary. And therefore, I have to be taught exactly that. Now, the question is, how do I know that that's true by all of these cases? Maybe it's, I mean, by Nazir, we went through a lot of rigmarole in order to figure out that the tar means only a tar. And here, you seem to be just taking it for granted. I mean, in the Mishnah, it says, Kulam shegilchu shelo b'tar. Kulam shegilchu shelo b'tar. I mean, bishlam agabei Nazir. Yes, it says beferish. Tar lo yavor al rosho. Okay. By the Levium, it says beferish. Heviru ta'ar al kol b'saram. Beferish. But where do we get the idea that a mitzora needs to be specifically b'tar? It doesn't say that. It simply says in the pasuk, yigaleach et kol sa'aro. That's all it says. Ve'et kol sa'aro yigaleach. It says at the end. So where do we know that from? Now, I know what you'll tell me. You'll tell me, well, obviously, I mean, if the other cases are with a tar, so why can't we learn out mitzora from the Levim, right? V'chite b'teisim Levim. And we would simply say, look, Levim need the same type of giluach that a mitzora needs. Removal of all body hair. And it says over there that it has to be done b'tar. They need tiglachat, and their tiglachat is only b'tar. Afani avieta mitzora. Not necessarily, because the Levium are a lot weirder what it is that we do to the Levium than what it is that we do to the Mitzera. I mean, we need to pick up the Levium and we need to rock a by Levi and move him around like he's a korban. And I mean, if you're going to be bringing a korban, maybe a human korban, if it's a rockabye baby, a baby doesn't have any body hair at all. So maybe over there, you've got to reduce him to a baby. I don't know. But maybe the whole chumrah over there is a totally different thing. You can't really compare a mitzera to a Levi, can you? So mala Levium, she can't turn into nufa begufam. Tomar b'mitzora delo, maybe the Torah would be mekel. I mean, Levium are an extremely strange kind of halacha. How do you know that the mitzora should be exactly the same? If you're going to tell me to learn it from a Nazir, Nazir has a chumra also. Malo Nazir shishkein korbanoto unlechem. And therefore, I don't have such a thing with a mitzora. There's no lechem for a mitzora. Tomar b'mitzora delo. So I don't have where to learn it from. You don't have where to learn it from one. True. You can't learn it not from Levi alone and not from Nazir alone. Okay, but put the two together and let's find the common denominator. Chada lo atya. Why can't we learn it between the two of them together? Well, okay, tell me how you want to start. Let's start the limud. We'll learn it with Levium. We said Levium are different because Levium need to be waved. Nazir yochiach. Nazir doesn't need to be waved. But then you'll say, well, but a Nazir does require lechem. So then let's bring it from the Levium. They didn't have to bring bread together with the Tiglachat. So, Chazar Adin, Lori Zekeri Zeh, Lori Zekeri Zeh. Bottom line is, common denominator, Atzada Shevesh Behem, they require Tiglachat, and the Torah demands that Tiglachat should be B'ta'ar. Afani Avieta Mitzora, Shuhu To'un Tiglachat, Vitiglachto betar. You can't stop here. It's like it's smack bang in the middle.
The Levium has to levitate.
Ay, ay, ay. Omale Rava mi Barnish. Yes. You got that. So, Amalei Rava mi Barnish, Luravashi. How do you know that you can use that as a tzara shava? V'lifruch mala tzara shava shebehen. Shekein ein korbano bedalut. Tomer b'mitzorah shekorbanot bedalut. We have a very special kula when it comes to a mitzorah. And that is we cannot afford to bring his keves, so then he can bring a birdie instead. So obviously the Torah is making life very easy for mitzorahs. So if that's the fact, then maybe a mitzorah doesn't need to use a tar, and he can just use a scissor. So, how do you know that you can learn out from the others? We don't have any mocker. Omele Rava, Bar Misharshia, L'Rava, explain to me what's going on over here. You started off, Aitana Mikoro Amdo, we can't learn the Nazir from the Mitzvah. Isn't that what you said at the beginning of the daf? Because the Lamdo Mi Mitzvah efshar. So basically, at the end of Amud Beis, we said a nazir can't be learned from a mitzvah she'ain done in kal mechamur la'achmir alav. Because how can you learn from something that is so chomer like the mitzvah? So in other words, you're considering the mitzvah's tiglacha to be more chomer, and then you come along and you're trying to learn the other way, and you're saying no. Actually, it's the opposite. V'adar amar nelev medina, and you can't even learn it from a combination of a common denominator because mitzera is so kal. I'm confused. Is it kal or is it chomer? Is that consistent? Omar Lay said Rava, to Rava Bar Misharshia, the braita that we just talked about, that we talked about on Amud Beis, it took for granted that we know the din of the Nazir, of the Mitzvah, and we wanted to learn it out of the Nazir. That was going Aliba the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan, as we're about to learn, they have a clear mocker in the Torah for the din that a Mitzvah needs to utilize a Ta'ar. And they don't need to learn it from anywhere else, and therefore they don't have to consider the possibility of the kula that's involved in the mitzvah, because it's irrelevant. The Torah specified it and spoke it out. So they could have learned out nazir directly, we thought, from the mitzvah. So we said, no, you can't, because it's chomer. Masha Ein came when we're trying to learn it midina. That midina was going aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. And Rebbe Eliezer, we're going to learn tomorrow, did not buy into the mocker in the Torah for Mitzvah. So therefore, you're right. If I need to learn Mitzvah itself out from the Nazir, it would be a little ridiculous for me to say, let's learn the Nazir from the Mitzvah, which we said before, 100%. It's contradictory. I mean, you took the Mitzvah for granted, and then when you tried to figure out how you know the Mitzvah, you couldn't even derive the Mitzvah from the Nazir, much less derive the Nazir from the Mitzvah. The Gemara is certainly very strange. But that's because we have two completely different Mekaras. So according to the Rabbanan, the Mitzvah is a given. Fine. So we never dealt with an issue. How do we know that in a Mitzvah, then we need to look at it, that maybe it should be a Kula, because then we'd be nuts to try to learn the Nazir out of a Mitzvah when we only know the Mitzvah from the Nazir. We don't yet know the Nazir. Mashain Kane, if you do know Mitzvah, then there's no problem. Now, tomorrow we'll see this Machlokas that we're referring to, which we have no idea. Where is there a pasuk that says beferish that you have to use an actual tar? It doesn't say so beferish. That we'll see what the mocker of the Rabbanan is and why Reb Eliezer disagrees with it. And that will be at what time? We could ask the begin. At what time? Maybe the begin is just the begin. Maybe there's no one behind.
I'm here. 7:06, I was announcing.
7:06, you say?
7:07, yeah.
So is 7:30 okay? Does that give you enough time?
Yeah.
Okay, so be it. Bezrat Hashem. How about down in a lot? What time? I mean, what happens down there, Richie? That's like you're around the equator there, aren't you? I'm kidding. So 7:30 would be okay, even for Richie. Okay, very good, everyone. And the man of the hour will confirm that 7:30. 30 would be fine in Yerushalayim as well. Okay. All right, so I look forward, Bezrat Hashem. Definitely need a lot of Bezrat Hashem, but looking forward to seeing you at that time on Mitzvah Shabbos while we celebrate the Yeshuas Hashem Keheref Ayin that took place over Shabbos Kodesh in preparation for Purim. Look, if what's his name, that Pompeo, the Secretary of State, could actually quote Megillas Esther in talking about how nuts Biden has to be for doing all of this, you know, nice stuff for Iran and trying to, unbelievable. All right, so we could certainly expect those Yeshuas. Kol tov, everyone. Shabbat shalom and vurach.